This is a HeadGum Podcast.
I also just want to say that I don't know how this is going to go because I ate 2.5 cinnamon rolls and a quesadilla, and that's all I've eaten today.
Well, it's like what they feed pregnant lions at the zoo.
What do you know that I don't?
Like shrimp and shrimp and panini.
It's a toddler on death row's last meal.
It's time for Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hey.
Punch Up the Jam.
Punch
Up the Jam.
Hi, welcome to Punch Up the Jam.
Are you sure the song ended? I have song blindness. I can't tell when music starts and ends.
My name's Miel Bredo. This is the podcast where I keep having the same man on over and over again without defining if he's a co-host or not. And guess what? That's what you're getting again today. Hi, Chris Fleming.
Hi, my name is C. Fleming, and pleasure to be here.
Can you say this time? I don't want to say it. Hey, Chris, what's the show?
This is when Miel tries, and a guest tries to make the greatest hits even greater.
Oh my God, you actually know the catchphrase?
Yeah, I read your Spotify bio I read your iTunes reviews daily.
I wish that was a joke, but you actually have
I'm obsessed with reviews.
You screenshot and send them to me, and I'm like, hey, I don't check these for a reason. They stress me out.
Thanks so much, bud. But yeah, no, I don't look at these. I'm obsessed. You want to know what I'm most obsessed with? Ticketmaster reviews. Go to Chris Kattan's.
What's on there?
They're not good. I'm obsessed with Ticketmaster reviews. For a while, it was my homepage.
Do you want to know what I'm obsessed with?
What?
Scrolling my Venmo.
That's probably
the social. That's the social media I look at the most.
Crow Sounds is the only social media that I look at. That's 80% of my screen time, which is 12
the
hours.
The app where
a
you
day.
Just play various sounding crows.
Are you going to pretend like people don't know what Crow Sounds is? It's the number one downloaded app, that or calculator. That's what I use when I try to get out of conversations. I go to my phone and I do simple equations. Oh, yeah, one sec.
You know, you could just do what I do.
What's that?
You just say, oh, it was so great chatting with you, but I don't really want to be here anymore. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Honestly, I think people respect your integrity.
Yeah. That's something that they're going to email you after. Like, hey, I just wanted to say, like, the way you left that, it really inspired me, and I've been doing it a lot.
I have actually gotten that a few times. That sounds like a bit, but people are like, it was so crazy to watch you just, like, do exactly what you wanted to do.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to make you a super lonely person, but you're going to get, like, a lot of good feedback. And that's honestly all us narcissists care about is feedback, reviews. All I care about is reviews. Other people's reviews, my reviews. Keep them coming.
How do you feel about Cyndi Lauper's reviews?
Oh,
do you like that segue?
Cyndi L?
Yeah.
I'm on a first grade classroom basis with her.
Yeah, but Cyndi was a pretty popular name in the 80s, actually. 1983, specifically, when this song came out as the second single on her debut album. Do you know what the first one was?
When You Were Mine, her cover.
Do you think that was her debut single as an artist?
I'm trying to think. Girls Wanna Have Fun!
Yeah! And apparently that was kind of contentious because the label was actually pushing for Time After Time to be her debut single, but she was like, no, I don't want to be known as a ballad person, and the very first single as a debut artist is going to kind of dictate how people view me, and I kind of want to be more seen as like a fun, flirty anthem type. Those are my words, not hers.
A fun, flirty anthem?
Yeah.
That can make you get away with anything if you just, like, if with that logic, it gives, you know, you can do anything.
Right.
Girls just want to have fun.
I also want to note that this song was written to be added to the album after the album was kind of done.
What's the song? Have we said the song yet?
Time After Time. I have said it many times.
This song came to me in 2006. I was in a really bad space and I needed something. And it wasn't enough to really help me, honestly. Like Fast Car came to me at a time when it did help me. But
don't spoil future picks.
Future picks? I got so obsessed with Time After Time that I got every... There's like a Rob Thomas cover of it. I had like every different one on my iPod.
The one that kept coming up on the Patreon was, I want to say Hyperdrive, or maybe Overdrive. It's like this rock band's cover that was in the movie Clock Stoppers. lot of people that really resonated with.
Was Clockstoppers just the, it was like a more action-packed Adam Sandler click?
As I recall, it was the brother from Bring It On.
Yeah.
Somebody, somebody.
And Meryl Streep was in it.
Meryl Streep played the witch, coincidentally. reprised her role Into the Woods.
She was incredible in it. And Domhnall Gleeson. It's Domhnall Gleeson and Meryl. It's Clockstoppers. But yeah, I listen to this song. What I think of this song, I think of being in a driveway about to go play water pong because I was straight edge with my friend Jer. We were both straight edge and we were playing with this girl, Nina and Tove. And they had beer on our side and we had water on the other side, which turns out is more dangerous to drink huge amounts of water. It's like how high school like football players.
You know, I had a real estate agent once, different life.
Oh my God.
I
had a real estate agent once.
To be clear, it wasn't really mine. I just had to interface with them. I've never bought a house before, but
okay.
This person had like a chauffeur driving them around. And I was like, hey, I'm sorry. Do you have a chauffeur? I just need to know. And she was like, no,
I just need to know.
I had a horrible seizure last year from trying to do this water like diet that I can't drive for a year.
Because
she drank too much water and it gave her a seizure. So you're not wrong about that.
My mom is like one of her biggest fears.
Drinking too much water.
Yeah.
I think it's like,
she tells me to stop.
No, I think if like high school football players across the nation that just literally carry around those gallon jugs chugging all day haven't gotten it, it's probably pretty hard to get. But back to the song.
Yeah.
And the also revisiting one other thing I think we need to mention, which is Straight Edge with my friend Jer, which is the most 2000s upbringing ass sentence I've ever heard.
Jer's from Massachusetts, but he's got a southern accent. And our voice and speech teacher was like, so are you from Virginia? Are you from the 1940s? Are you from an old Disney movie? Nah, that's from Brookline, Mass, man. I'm sorry, what is that? We were roommates, and so when I would have to read his lips to first understand what he was saying, so when the lights went off, it was like there's only so many times you can be like, sorry, what was that? Nah, it's not that. Also, he loves going on walks by himself. The first night of college, he was like, oh, nah, I'm just going to go on a walk, man. I was like, oh, I'll come with you. Nah, that's all right, man. Brutal.
We respect him, Boundary King.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you that this album was more or less done, but I guess the producer that she worked with, whose name I didn't write down, but you can look at her Wikipedia. I guess his whole thing was like...
David Tickle?
I wish. He would always say to the artist when the album was done, like, you know what it needs? Just one more song. He'd always do that. Whoa. So he came back to them and they were like, fuck you, fine. Cindy and her co-writer, who is the man singing on this song as well. And they were like, fine, whatever. And they kind of just banged this out and they didn't even record a demo version. The first version they ever recorded is the one that we know.
That's divine.
And then it ended up becoming her first number one hit on the Billboard charts ever.
So the producer that she resented, she now.
He actually was totally right. I actually think musicians always do that. The album's done. Just write one more song.
1979, same thing.
I think you throw it away. I think you're way less precious about it. Because you're like, whatever, I'll just write one really quick. And you're so out of your own way, you know?
Who let the dogs out? Radiohead, their album was due. And then that was the last thing that was due. And then they gave it to the bottom and as a gift. And look what it did.
It's like Tom Bruno York Mars giving it. Fuck you to CeeLo and being like, fuck, for the rest of his career.
Did he really?
As I recall, that is the truth. But again, don't fact check me ever.
Did you know Bruno Mars played the Crypt Keeper in the original Goosebumps?
Stop. I need to tell you one more thing and then we can get to the song, okay?
Okay.
Actually, two more things, equally important. So after they said, write one more song, she was like, I have no inspiration. I have no ideas. She was flipping through a TV guide, or so the word is on the street. And she saw, like, you know, in the guide, this is, by the way, Gen Z, back in the day before you could just open a TV and click guide, or I guess back in the day we had TV, I should say, and not just our laptops.
Are you in a rocking chair right now?
Fuck. Listen, you know what I'm talking about. Remember TV Guide? It wasn't even on TV what was going to be
Gen
playing.
I'm Gen T.
I'm 13 years old. Anyway, she saw that this movie Time After Time was just playing and she went, that's a movie? That's a good song title. And put it as a placeholder and then wrote the whole song around it to the extent that she couldn't change the title. So yes, this is a song named after a movie, which it bears no relevance.
I love that. Didn't we do another song like that once? Iris. Yeah.
From the Google City Dolls. Of Angels soundtrack called Iris for no reason.
That's incredible. Sometimes you just got to get out of your own way, folks.
Okay.
Everyone have a good night.
Nope. The second thing. Remember I said they were equally important? I would say this is the most important thing I've said so far and maybe will ever say for the rest of my life. And I'm so glad that the patron comment is relating to the same thing because the whole reason I chose this song was to talk about this. Mm-hmm. I'm going to read her comment. Alicia White. I don't have a personal anecdote, but the dance scene with Alan Cumming in Romy and Michelle's high school reunion is a masterpiece, and I hope you talk about it on the pod.
Yeah, it is.
And everyone knows this movie, Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion, right?
Of course. Am I speaking for everybody? Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think...
No, a moment of silence.
I think that also the song, I think that scene was...
That was, sorry, just to interject, that was your time to scream yes.
Or no.
I was leaving, or no, yeah. Can't hear you, but maybe God did.
Or come see, come saw. But that's not, that scene was so unforgettable that, like, I think a lot of other movies since then, whenever you play this, like, it's the opening of every dance.
They're trying to, everyone's prom. Chasing Romy yeah. and Michelle's high school reunion. If you guys don't know this movie, stop everything you do. Everything you do.
Stop everything you do.
What's, no, I said your do, because I have the scene playing in my head right now and I'm not even here. It's, I remember, I think it's the first time I felt the concept of romance in my body physically, you know? Like, where you just imagine something romantic and your body kind of hurts when you're, like, very little.
That was a Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey for
Stop.
Me. I'm not kidding.
What made you feel romantic? Do you understand what you're saying?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying it's the I felt
love. It was Michael J. Fox.
I felt Sally Field. I just felt like being, sometimes sexuality can be higher than literal things. It's like.
Is that what that Steve Winwood song's about? I want to be attracted to a dog in a non-sexual way. Saying, whoa.
I do not have an attraction to bull terriers or golden retrievers on their last leg. Unless they're with Liz Warren. And then something about the combo of the two of. Okay. Also, my memory of Romy and Michelle's high school reunion, I saw it too late. And all I remember is I don't think there were any close-ups in that movie. It was all wide.
I've seen it about 100 times, but my main takeaway was... Watch out, Tucson. Here we come. Woo! 50 times in a row. And to this day, anytime I'm in a car, I'll yell that at the beginning of a trip and no one has ever gotten it.
If you ever watch a comedy sometimes or with like in the wrong headspace and you're like, wait, is this like if you don't get on board right away, you're like, is this a comedy or like, am I supposed to take this seriously?
I have this disease. It's any movie you watch, you go, this is a crazy documentary. How did they get this?
Yeah, is this Nest Cam footage?
I remember watching The Matrix and being like, whoa, I didn't know any of that. Okay, I'm going to start the song.
Goodbye.
Ready?
Good night.
Hi-yo!
What?
What's I just wrong? Forgot how good it is immediately.
Oh, I didn't. I carry it with me. This is bedtime stuff. This isn't now.
I have to stop it right before she starts singing. I have to. I'm sorry. The way this song starts, I don't, at this point, I really don't care what happens after this.
Mm. Oh, it's that powerful of first impression?
14 seconds in, and I will go wherever this song takes me.
Yeah.
I will Pied Piper style straight into hell with this song.
Not to give like spoilers, but doesn't she like jump into choruses apropos of nothing sometimes in the song?
Yeah, she goes from like a sultry low vocal into a full on scream.
Yeah. And like, yeah.
But that harmony really makes it work. I mean, we're getting ahead of ourselves. You okay. ready to hear her singing?
Yes. Yeah. In my bed, hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new. That's a man lying down in a bed drumming.
On his belly?
No, he's just so relaxed.
Oh, you mean the eighth notes?
He's calm.
Yeah. Is it eighth notes? Oh, I didn't count. Whatever. She said, lying in my bed, I hear the clock tick and think of you. Caught up in circles, confusion is nothing new.
Confusion is nothing new, right?
What did I say?
Oh, I know. I think you said confusion. Sorry, I just didn't. Confusion is nothing new.
I got to be honest. I'm in a fugue state. This instrumental takes me to another place. I don't think I know how to now.
You shouldn't be driving today.
I want to say I've never analyzed the lyrics to this song. I've never really paid attention to them. This song is so... What? It's true. Why are you looking at me like that?
Oh, no. I was just smiling. Oh. I was happy.
Did I say something funny, sir?
I was just smiling. I was... Sorry. No, I'm listening to you. Keep going.
I haven't. But I'm just curious what it is about a clock ticking that reminds her of this person. The passing of time reminds her of this person. This person is notorious for their clock collection.
He was so boring that she was always looking at
it. It was always quiet when they were together and she could hear it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a part-time job.
He has like a tick that he's like, tut, 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 like a French person when he's in between words, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
They're cheerleaders together. Tick, tick, boom, maybe dynamite.
The founder of Swatch.
I'm just really curious. And then the caught up in circles, what are clocks round? You know, like it's a lot of clock stuff.
Sundials, yeah.
Maybe this is why they used it in the movie Clock Stoppers. That's just occurring to me. Where have I been?
I mean, yeah, yeah.
Confusion is nothing new. Time is confusing. I'm starting to think this song is less about describing a relationship and the time they're together and how they'll be together for all time, but maybe actually it's describing a relationship with time.
You think she has an intimate relationship with time?
Grandfather Time himself? Herself?
A pocket watch?
Oh, I kind of get that one. You ever see a pocket watch and you're like, I don't want that in my mouth. No. Okay, that's not relatable. I'm sorry. No. I said too much.
No.
Okay, that's cool. Let's get on to verse two.
Yeah, I guess I have one in a pocket watch in my mouth.
You're such a scumbag. Say it during the music.
Yeah, I deep throw grandfather clocks. So you want a pocket watch in your mouth? That's child's play. I go to town on grandfathers.
Brother, if you haven't had a moving pendulum across that tongue, you've heard of teabagging?
I let Big Ben reverse cowgirl me. Okay? I go to London for that. I take Nordic Airways.
Mad Hatter somewhere is absolutely masturbating to this. Are you kidding?
No, he's fuming.
He's using autoerotic asphyxiation while we listen to this podcast.
He wants to kill. He's pissed that we're talking about time. He's hellbent on breaking time, right?
Yeah, he doth protest a bit much,
oh,
no?
Oh, wow, you think it turns him on?
Okay, listen, I need to make a correction. That was not verse two, that was like a B section. I don't want to get the tweets, you know? I gotta just say that. Flashback, warm nights, almost left behind, suitcase of memories, time after. And then guess what that's gonna lead us into? Time after. No, it's the.
Oh, sorry.
She does two verses back to back before we get to the chorus, and the lyrics bridge from one to the other.
Yeah, this is
a little tricky thing, huh? It's a little tricky.
You can take your time back then.
Eat time, huh?
A suitcase is.
You've gotten horny for a clock?
You think that I'm. Yeah, I mean, I sometimes. You ever set a stopwatch or something and then not turn it off on your phone and you look and like.
I'm a timer girl. Like, I'm a timer girl. We don't do a stopwatch.
It's like 8 weeks, four days, 20 minutes.
That made me laugh in a way that fucked up my throat.
Yeah, that was out of your coccyx.
The suitcase of memories line, I do recall as a child listening to this song, having that hit and being like, oh, I didn't know words could be like that.
Suitcase of memories?
I was like, wow, that's, whew. Like, I think that might be one of the most powerful metaphors I had heard as a young child.
Oh, you know, I've always pictured a briefcase
you open them just to parse them.
I was like, Cindy's a business
lady. And here we have my fourth grade birthday party. And here we have my first hand job at the movie theater.
Yeah.
That should be kind of cool.
Yeah.
The memo. Okay, verse two.
My friend Dick carried a briefcase around for a while, and I was like, what is in this briefcase?
So here's the thing, usually on this podcast, if the music's playing, we're not talking.
I know. But I was like, what could be in this briefcase? Like we're like teens. And I got a glimpse once, and it was a single Toblerone. And I think a Cosmo. All right, sorry, keep going. It's like, you don't... Okay, sorry.
I think, I just want to say, it was really brave of you to halt the entire structure of this podcast to let me know that your friend Dick had a briefcase with a Toblerone in it.
I
think it was a long walk and it was really worth it. Also, and I think it was brave.
He also...
keep going. I think that's the right choice.
Would carry liters of seltzer in it.
Uh-huh.
And one day we were walking up the handicap ramp in high school and the hottest girl in our grade was behind us. And I was like, play it cool, Dick. It's Becca S. And he's like, okay, okay. And then at that moment, we're on a handicap ramp. His briefcase opens and like 16 liters of Polar Seltzer are like, gudda-da-da, gudda-da-da. And she's like dodging it like an Indiana Jones obstacle. After immediately after saying, play it cool, Dick. Okay, sorry, sorry. Please keep going.
Actually, with the addition of the second part, that was worth it. So that was good.
Okay, phew. Thank God. I'll live another day.
I'm starting from where I left off.
You're calling to me. I can't hear what you've said. Then you say it goes wrong.
Can we stop to comment on that?
Yeah, yeah.
Clack, clack, clack.
The snare rim.
Clack. Oh my God. Once you notice that clack, 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 it's all you will hear for the rest of the time you listen to this song.
Oh, but it's such a great, it really gets you revved.
Oh my God. Ka, ka, ka. That's when you're doing like the air sticks over your head, depending on how much you've imbibed.
That's when you're swerving the car. You're perpendicular on the highway at that
point. You're doorjacking those little tubes that are daring you to hit them, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
You know those guys I'm talking about?
Tube tops?
They put those orange tubes, like a hard tube man, on the freeway. And it's don't touch me. And it's like...
I used to live with one of those guys. The way you're making sounds... Ooh. Do you hear me? Have I changed? Can you help me, though? Hi. Any listeners out there know how to give your pal Chris a tracheotomy? Because the voice is different.
Can you clear your throat, bud?
Wow. Wow. I was talking. My voice was coming from the top of the tippity top, my scalp.
I know that we've been, like, I know that every time people tweet at both of us, it's always like, your energy together is so chaotic. And I'm always like, no, it's not. And in this moment, I'm like, no, it is. It is. Both of us having vocal interruptions.
Hey, okay. At Miel, at Chris Fleming, could you guys go to a doctor separately and stop doing this?
Are you ready for this banging ass chorus? I don't know that I am. I already feel like I'm at the edge.
I am.
See you on the other side.
Second hand unwind. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you, I'll be waiting. Time after time, if you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time, if you fall, I will catch you, I'll be waiting.
I will be waiting.
Time after time.
That's the part we all want to sing along with, though. Like every little kid waits until that part to start singing, drops in for that line alone, walks away.
I wasn't allowed to listen to this.
Throws the
18.
Fruit by the foot over the fucking shoulder like a lasso and walks out casually.
You leave FPTF out of this.
I never leave FTPF out of my purse or my heart.
All right.
Wait, you drink fruit by the foot?
What?
Nothing.
Yeah, that's a sexy chorus.
I mean, jumping up from like a low register to a high register is always going to be like a pretty effective tool in the ballad genre. But to also bring in a male vocalist out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah.
It's a bold move.
You know who that is?
Gerard Thomas Depardieu. Jefferson. Sorry. What'd you say?
Gerard Depardieu.
Depardieu.
Yeah.
That is right.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that they got him.
It's
right
Fincher.
After. He made that movie with Whoopi Goldberg.
Yeah.
Where he helps that orphan whose mom, I think, was like a showgirl.
The man who's legally obligated to be in every single film ever made in France.
Gerard?
Cindy, when I hear this stuff, it reminds me of, I just realized, so she came on this 4th of July show that the Boston Pops do this 4th of July thing with this man with a mushroom cut named Keith Lockhart. And every woman is just feverishly after Keith. In New England, right? And she was like the special guest in like 98. And she, the way that my family reacted to it, like my extended family, I think they just thought she was a witch because we still very much believe in witches. And it was the same reaction that they have to Prince. So like, I think of Cindy, I was raised to believe that this is an absolute freak lady.
You thought this was really edgy?
She herself, unhinged. And
just because she wore kooky
frightened.
Clothes and had like a high voice.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess that's pretty threatening.
Yeah, to Massachusetts.
To a middle class family in Massachusetts.
People were livid. My aunt was weeping looking out the window forlorn when she came on.
I'll never understand that culture.
Yeah.
But I did forget because I got so jazzed.
Oh.
I'm going to try that again.
Oh, dear.
I did forget because I got so jazzed about the music part of this that we were trying to follow this clock thing. And I forgot to mention many references in the lyrics we just passed by. Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
I'm walking too far ahead. You know what? Sometimes you set your clock too far ahead. Curious.
Okay.
You're calling to me. I can't hear what you've said. You know who doesn't talk?
Time.
Clocks and time. Then you say, go slow. Guess what? What do you do to a clock that's going too fast?
Are you writing this paper during lunch right now?
I'm trying to graduate. Please let me finish my thesis.
In the hallway?
You know what the line is after go slow?
What?
I fall behind.
Oh, spring forward, fall back.
Or that your clock's running slow.
Yeah.
And then the second hand unwinds. That's just literally a clock.
That's a great, sexy, desperate line.
She's a clock. I think maybe she's also a clock. I think this is two clocks in love. I think that's what this song is. Y'all have thought this about like you and your husband. No. This is two clocks.
It's a grandmother.
This is a fanfic about Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. It's a Cogsworth v. Cog lady or man Cogsworth.
What? Is that the character's name from Beauty and the Beast?
I don't know. I maybe not. I don't know.
I thought he was like your pal Cogsworth. I was like, who are you talking about?
I was going to say Lumiere, but I'm pretty sure it's Cogsworth.
Lumiere is the candelabra.
It's Cogsworth.
Why do you know that?
It's Coxswain. Yeah, I think his name's Coxswain.
You know what I think? We need to take a break. Guess what? Time's up. Over plow. Different song. Time. We're back from break. Hi. Thanks.
Mekhi Phifer.
I bet you got a lot of like Google searches for that.
For Mekhi Phifer?
Yeah, after he got name dropped in the greatest song of our generation.
Oh, totally. I think that was probably pre-rabid Googling though, right?
Yeah, that was Ask Jeeves in.
Yeah, that was famousbabes.net.
Okay, I'm clicking the next song. Oh, this guitar solo. I totally forgot about this. I want to live in this part of the song right here.
Yeah.
Just tuck in. Take a nap.
It's pretty bright stuff.
That clack clack's gone. Darkness has turned to gray. Watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. That's unbelievable. This song, is this like the most like romantic song ever written? It's not even about the lyrics or anything. It's just the way it makes me feel to listen to. I feel romantic.
I always get really choked up if someone says things like, if I'm okay, I'm fine, you're okay. Like phrases like that always get me.
Because it's like vulnerable.
It's really, it's like, yeah.
It's so sincere.
Oh yeah, it gets me.
It brings it out of you. When you see someone being vulnerable, it makes you want to be vulnerable, I feel like.
Yeah.
I'm making that up. Don't look it up.
But I love the conditional of if whether or not someone's okay, because you never know if you're okay. That's I'm never sure if I'm okay or not. So it's like,
wait,
if someone's like, are you okay? I'm like, oh, yeah, no, if you're asking me, I'm certainly not.
That happens to me every time I don't wear makeup out in public. People go, are you okay? And I was like, I'm just not wearing makeup. And they're like, oh, sorry, you just look really tired. I'm like, well, that makes it worse. Thank you. Listen.
I love those relationships where the guy's just like, are you okay? That's when you know it's over. Every like 30 seconds. You okay, babe?
I now have to change my theory.
Yes.
I've had a revelation. This verse has shined a new light on my clock thing.
You're in the moment right now?
Yeah, I came back. The break really settled me.
Okay.
After my picture fades and darkness has turned to gray, watching through windows, you're wondering if I'm okay. That's what we just listened to.
Mm-hmm.
Her picture fades and darkness has turned to gray.
Mm-hmm.
What involves a picture and time and the word gray? Dorian Gray!
Wow.
We cracked it.
All right, folks. Going home.
Either she's Dorian Gray or she's in love with Dorian Gray. That's what this song's about.
All right, team, wrap it up.
You know how it doesn't say...
We finally did it.
It's just Cyndi Lauper. It doesn't say featuring that man. You know why? It's Dorian Gray. He wow. refused to get a credit because he wanted to be a ghostwriter.
Good job.
Thank you. Anyone needs me to be a clock stopper?
Me?
Let me know. Secrets stolen.
drumbeats out of time. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time.
No, I'm just singing the melody. I can only sing melody. And when I was in band, when I was supposed to play the tuba and then play the bass parts, I just tried to play the melody. And they were like, Fleming, you're not good enough to do this by ear. I'm sure I've said this before. Good night. Fleming, we need a bass line. If everyone just tried to mirror badly the melody, then this would be utter bedlam.
Those little clap, clap, claps.
Are you catcalling me right now? Those little clap, clap, claps?
I would catcall those clap, clap, claps if they were anthropomorphized.
What clap, clap, claps are you talking about?
Gah, gah, gah.
Oh.
Gah, gah, gah.
Yeah. You were calling those clocks a little while ago.
Well, listen, I don't talk very well.
I thought that was a drummer term.
I firmly believe my tongue is physically too short for my mouth.
I forgot that you were the white rabbit today, obsessed with your time.
Or paintings.
Yeah, that's a pretty good read that you did there.
Oh, thanks. I think 200 episodes in,
I think it's finally worth
cracked
it.
Cracked the code.
I think analyzing the lyrics is finally paying off. I was like, ooh, that's interesting. No, sorry, it's always interesting. I was just like,
I also want to comment on the instrumental portions of this song. There's like quite a few. There's like a lot of guitar in this. I usually find that kind of self-indulgent. You know, it's always like, it feels like they're killing time or it's vamping. And I'm sure that's kind of what this is.
Yeah, give it to me for a live show, but for a recording, you had all the time in the world.
But you know, for this song, it really works for me personally. I'm kind of a hack, I guess, but I really like the way it feels so good.
I could live a lifetime in this song.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, it's like it's like that old story about the devil telling you to come in and take a nap. And then you're like, okay. And then you take a nap and it's like 40 years later.
That's Rip Van Winkle. And that's not the devil. That's nature.
Rip Van Winkle ran for office. No, you have this confused. You're thinking of Michael Dukakis. That's the Rip Van Winkle is the senator. Michael Dukakis is
Do you
want to
hear a crazy story
years.
About Michael Dukakis?
Of course.
It may or may not be confirmed, okay? But my first apartment in LA, I lived in this horrible condo in Westwood with this very mean girl who I ended up moving out after 1 month.
How close to this California Pizza Kitchen were you?
Very close. Good yeah. call. Westwood recall. It's where UCLA is in LA. It's like not a place you want to live if you're not going to UCLA. It was a rich neighborhood. So apparently in my building, my like 3-4 unit building, Michael and Kitty Dukakis lived there. I never vetted this. I saw Dukakis, like the name on like the mail sometimes, but
yeah.
I'm pretty sure it couldn't have been them. They don't live in Westwood, right? Whatever. I also don't know
I'm sure they did. That's where Whitey Bulger ended up, didn't he? Oh, no,
I don't know.
Santa Monica.
I also don't know if they were my direct neighbors. I have no idea. But what I do know is that one night when I first moved there, I was having a really hard time. I just played a show on the Sunset Strip and like 3 people came and I was so embarrassed.
Yeah.
And I was crying to my friend Willie on the phone on my patio. To not wake up my neighbor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, literally, it was loud. And it was a Saturday night and yeah. It was like 8 p.m., mm-hmm. maybe 9. And suddenly I'm like, I don't know why I moved here. I'm just having a really hard time. I'm fully crying, right? And then I start hearing, shut up. And I was like, what? And I was like, I'm sorry, are you talking to me? And I can't see anyone because the unit is above me and they're like on their patio. She's like, yeah, it's this lady's voice. Shut up.
The Dukakis' demand.
I was like, I'm having a really hard time right now. I'm sorry. And she was like, I don't fucking care. Shut up.
Wow.
And I was like, I kind of think that was Kitty Dukakis.
You think Kitty Dukakis told you to STFU?
I could be really wrong about this, but that was the legend.
I mean, I've heard.
That was the legend. That's what I'll say.
I've heard your voice when you're having a pretty hard time. And I think if I were Kitty, I might agree with. I think
it's not my fault. I have a really annoying voice when I'm crying. Some people have ugly cry face. Some people have ugly cry voice. How is that my fault?
No, I'm just saying I understand why Kitty Dukakis. Also, of course, if you're from Boston and you move to LA, you will end up in Westwood. That's exactly what's going to happen. Like, it makes so much sense that that's where they went, and they thought that it was like the place to be, the epicenter of culture, where they could shush their downstairs neighbors.
I was like 18. Like, I'm sorry, but like, can you just be like, hey, honey, are you all right down there?
Yeah, that shouldn't be the reaction.
Baby, it sounds like you're having a really bad time.
Oh, yeah.
But I mean, shout out Kitty Dukakis. I miss us. Is that the best part of the song? That tiny little pickup after the find me, boom, boom, boom.
I think it's one of the best parts of the song.
Just, I want you to imagine for a second how empty it would sound without that. Oh, you know what this reminds me of? I forgot. I actually did find this song a cappella. And I think this really hammers home my point about the instrumental being so fucking good on this song. Because the vocals by themselves, I mean, all respect to Cyndi Lauper, but like, listen to it.
The second hand unwinds. If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. Time after time. If you fall, I will catch you.
I'll be waiting. I'd ask this person that.
I don't care. Shut the fuck up.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, that sounds like someone having.
If you're lost, you can look and you will find me. It's what's shocking to me how much there's on the meat. It's a little like Tom DeLonge.
Yeah, yeah.
Where are you?
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's like, it's very someone screaming at the moon. Yeah, I don't like that.
It's kind of punk rock, though.
It's very ska.
It really also brings to light like the harmony.
Really? That's really it?
Supposedly it's on YouTube as Cyndi Lauper, Time After Time, original studio recording.
How many views?
Only 3,000. But I can hear in this mix, the background is there. Someone made this themselves by trying to like change the EQ, you know? So like, I do think this is...
Did you upload it?
I'm Retro Music World with 18,000 subscribers.
Okay.
You got me!
It's okay if you did.
Okay, let's finish this song.
If you fall, I will catch you. I'll be waiting. Time after time.
Bah! Bah!
If you're lost, you can look and you will find me.
You ready? Carver wants to sing too.
Oh, yeah.
Ready? Here we go. It's your turn. Oh, where were you?
I missed it.
Do you want it again?
Yeah.
No, you're going to do it here on top of this. Go. Right here. Ready? Ready? Here we go.
I will be waiting.
Yeah, that was it. And then also here. Ready?
I will be waiting.
Hey, to listen to her here. And then one more. And then one more with no more time.
Yards
listen.
Away.
Okay, it's not there. It's this one. Ready? Oh!
She ran out of studio time. Sorry, Cyndi. That's it. Wrap it up.
Unfortunately, we're getting fined every time we say the word time.
That's her.
We have run out.
Carried away from the mic because she ran out of studio time. And she's getting further and further. Yeah, that was really nice.
I love the fade. And I love that she's like, I'm going to, hey guys, keep rolling. I got an idea. I'm going to whisper. It sounds like she was doing her own backing vocals and she's so exhausted that she's like, hey guys, I'm still giving it a college try, but I'm really tired. That's me doing karaoke when I like positively said, no, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this.
How did you end up at the bar then? You know? Oh, you're like a hustler. You're like,
if anyone,
no, I'm not in it. No, I'm just here. I live nearby.
I'm making myself laugh thinking about now someone going to karaoke and whispering the whole song into the mic, though.
I feel like...
Imagine doing Alanis Morissette and being like, another version of me. Was she?
That'd be great. I think that the worst qualities that a person has in everyday life is how they excel in karaoke. Oh. I think it excels in the karaoke stage.
I've never met someone who kills at karaoke who is a cool person in real life.
That's what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're right. But you know, who
I heard
does
that the Haim sisters go to karaoke bars and they do like in L.A.
Really?
And they just like knock it out of the park.
I believe that in L.A. karaoke sucks kind of. Well, it did. I guess I shouldn't speak about it now because A, it doesn't exist and B, I don't live there. But back in the day, I kind of resented going to like a remotely good spot because there would always be someone who's like from Broadway or off Broadway or whatever who can sing incredibly well, and it's like, oh cool, I'm glad I paid to see your show. Like, it doesn't, there's no authenticity or like excitement about it. It's just like, let me go up here and do my thing. And I'm like, that's not what this is. This is for drunk people to have fun and pretend like they can sing. If you can actually sing, why are you here?
How do you feel about the Cameron Diaz scene in My Best Friend's Wedding? When she sings so badly, and then, but then it's Julia Roberts tries to dismantle, tries to make her look really bad, and it's like, you know, like, and gives her the mic, and she's so bad that the audience, the restaurant's like, oh God, and the husband, soon to be husband, is like, oh, I think I made a mistake. But then she like owns it so much, she's so herself. It's like one of the best performances. And then like everyone comes around to it, and Julia Roberts is like foiled again, you know, because she's trying to cough block
her. I rewatched it recently because I hadn't seen it since it came out. And I have to say, I didn't really understand it.
Oh.
It made me feel really stupid. I was like,
I had that with Emma, the remake of Emma the other day.
I was like, wait, I'm sorry. Why is she? Okay. And how is she attempting to? Okay. Like, it just felt really convoluted. And I did not understand Rupert Everett's role in that movie at all. Like, why was he even in it? Like, we didn't need that.
Oh, no, I needed that. Are you kidding me? In the
it's
end?
A different movie. His character is in a different movie than their movie.
Oh, he makes it for me.
Oh, I know. That's what I'm saying.
The scene where he sings. It's like they may as well put it like a green screen. That's like so surreal and outrageous. But you're talking about the email scene, which makes no sense. The email when she like, when it gets like into NASDAQ.
She breaks into the office. Everything gets so confusing.
And then Paul Giamatti shows up.
All right. We need to move on because I have a clip from Robert Jefferson Moose, not his middle name. Rob Moose, he's the weatherman on this show, by which I mean an incredibly esteemed professional musician who, for some reason, gives me a little synopsis of the tunes if you wanted a musician's input and not me screaming, caw, 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 for 30 minutes.
Like a crow.
No, that'd be, ah, ah. Who needs crow sounds? You got my mouth. Ah. Okay, listen, we're going to Rob.
Wow, what a quirky song. My first question, where does that intro material come from? When a song starts, I'm immediately on the hunt. Is this the same sequence of chords that will continue for the first verse? Or is it a hint of something new to come? Like the intro to the Beach Boys song, Wouldn't It Be Nice, transitions in a kind of jarring way into the verse because it's actually the material from the song's bridge and is therefore in a different key. The next thing I noticed was a very cool omission of what we would expect to be bar 8 in the pre-chorus. At that point, I was expecting that the next time the section came around, I'd get to hear all 8 bars. Not so, Mr. Moose. They trim an additional bar, leaving me with a mere 6. I love this. The very same second pre-chorus is also a surprising place to bring in a more fleshed out drum part, but I like it. Finally, we arrive at a chorus, and what a beautiful one. I like how the quirky drum part continues verbatim from the pre-chorus, and so much is added by the presence of the male backing vocal. I'll say this as if I know for sure, but I don't hear any other additional parts come in there. The chords are new, including the first appearance of the always emotional minor 6 chord. But other than that background vocal, we're in the same exact landscape of the prior sections. It's also a very satisfying section because it does the same thing 4 times in a row. After those pre-chorus shenanigans, we are ready to sink into something repetitive, and here the song delivers. The instrumental that follows is the first time we revisit those intro chords, but at this point in the song, I'm still wondering if there's going to be a payoff built on those chords at some point. Should we pick up the pace, perhaps? Pre-chorus 3 is another stubborn beauty clocking in at 6 bars, so by now I know that the first one was actually an outlier. Extra bar there, not a missing bar. Chorus 2, oddly enough, is half as long vocally, with an extended non-solo jam out for even longer than the singing part. This surprisingly leads into the 4th pre-chorus of the song. Very unusual. Those of you who have heard me ramble previously will realize by now that this chorus instrumental and pre-chorus slapped together kind of stand in for a bridge in the sense that they're just helping us kill time before we circle back to another one of those choruses that we all love. By now, I can tell as a listener that I'm not going to get an amazing epiphany making sense of the intro chords, but I'm okay with it because this song is so full of surprises that I don't think I could handle another one. Whoever put this shit together is someone I'd really like to meet. I love how comfortable they are with keeping the audience off balance. And I also want to give a shout out to Cindy and the band's performed fade out at the end of the song. It reminds me of a classical music-esque diminuendo, very subversive in this context and quite magical.
Okay. That might be one of my favorite Rob segments ever. That might be my favorite one ever. Everything he said, I was like, oh shit. Oh my God. It's so, I'm
just kind of,
no, don't.
I'm busily writing a children's book called Not So Mr. Muth about a conspiracy theorist, Muth.
That was my favorite part, to be fair.
Not so, Mr.
Not Muth. So, Mr.
Muth. He comes out and he's like, the moon landing never happened. Not so, Mr. Muth. It's about, yeah, that's
conspiracy
a great way
theorist
to de-radicalize
Muth.
Youth.
I think it's
not
a-
so, Mr. Muth.
The opposite if you give a mouse a cookie.
Yeah, but
if
it's
you
about
encourage
a libertarian
a conspiracy
Muth.
Theorist ideas.
Yeah, I love that. Not so, Mr. Muth.
I can't believe that the chords are the same between the verse and the chorus. And I also didn't catch, I mean, lyrically, yeah, of course, time after, like, we sensed that kind of rushed into the next section, but I didn't know that it was at what he thought was at first a missing bar, but then realized later it was an added bar. That unevenness, that's really fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
And I also kind of like, I mean, like he said, I don't think I could handle another surprise. Like, I kind of like that this song is a simmer because
I could've
that's enough for me.
I could have handled one more.
You wanted to get higher?
No.
Go crazy?
I'm not saying I wanted
it. You wanted
it.
A full
I
geyser?
I said I simply could have handled it. But after that, enough.
Well, okay.
My quote is filled.
First of all, let's get to Unpunchable Jams.
You can't punch this.
Because I'm going to be transparent. I was very on the fence about doing a punch up for this song. Obviously, I had an idea. Can you guess what it was?
I would imagine it was about either something about how Cindy spells her name with the Y and the I in opposite places, or that's what I would have done, or what you probably would have done is about her trying to dry hump a grandfather clock.
Right. So obviously that was the idea that came to mind. But part of me was like, I don't know about this because it feels really sacrilegious to touch this song. After Rob's segment, that's it for me. Sorry, folks. My Unpunchable Jam is Time After Time by Cyndi Lauper.
Have you guys heard it?
Check it out.
It's going on the playlist, whether you like it or not. And by the way, when I say playlist, I do mean the Unpunchable Jams playlist on Spotify that I do not update or moderate. I let fans do it. Thank you for doing that, whoever does that. And also, while I'm on the subject of playlists, I want to shout out that I do a playlist. I make a playlist for the Patreon every single month, and then I make a bonus episode about the playlist. So if you like the songs I like, or if you just want to learn some new tunes, check out the Patreon at $7 a month. Punch up the jam. Now it is time for your Unpunchable Jam.
Thank you so much.
I stalled so much.
Yeah, I've been looking through my Spotify.
I saw it. I saw the fear in your eyes.
The Unpunchable Jam that I picked earlier today is Maria by Blondie.
You can't play it out loud.
Why? You can't stop the beat.
Chris.
Oh, you put it in
post. We landed in post.
Who's we?
Me and Larissa.
Okay, sorry.
What do you like about it?
Well, I was trying to overcompensate for being so unprepared that I thought that maybe I could provide the tech.
I can tell you were a props major in theater school. Hey, what do you like about the song?
I wasn't a props major. I had to be the props master my senior year because I wasn't cast in any shows and I had to have one actual theater credit. So I had to beg Larry Opitz. I had to prove to him that I was passionate about props. And I showed up at the Metamorphosis rehearsal with a Target alarm clock.
And he said, Fleming, get the fuck off the stage.
A digital alarm clock.
Did I say digital alarm clock?
For the Metamorphosis.
For the Metamorphosis, I think, which is like 1650. I like popped out and I interrupted.
Fleming, get out of here. Hit the gym, Fleming.
Thank you so much, Chris, for coming on for the
first time. I was nervous, but I think it paid off. I think
it's really good. Not bad.
I think that I'm finally, yeah, I think I'm finally happy.
I think we went through a lot today. I think admitting that you had your sexual renaissance while watching Homeward Bound was a huge step.
I didn't say that. You can't prove that. I think that you did a really good job about the Dorian Gray thing. That really blew my hair back. And I'm a golden-haired hussy.
We're back to Homeward Bound. See you in 2 weeks. Bye.
Okay, that was
Touch the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
Touch
the Jam.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.